Good morning. Welcome back. From the Ron Scott Communications Center, I'm Steve Bowes. This is From the Stand. Joining me now, Niels Agather with the Commemorative Air Force.
You bet.
And a longtime member, but your family history dates back even further than your history with the CAF, and especially with the B-29 Fifi.
Well, that's right. My father was serial number 212 in the CAF, so long time, early 1960s.
Yes. The organization started in 1957, obviously, but before that, your dad was involved in World War II.
Correct.
And actually involved with the B-29 itself.
Correct.
When it was operational. What was his role at that time?
Well, he was called active duty in 1940, August of 1940, so a year and a half or so before World War II, and the B-29 program was well underway, had a lot of problems with it, and he, along with a number of other people, were assigned to the program to try and fix the problems, if you will, that were with it.
And list off some of the challenges that the B-29 was facing in those days.
Overheating, primarily. Overheating on the engines. The original, there were the -23 engines that they had originally would have engine fires, and then they went to a fuel-injected engine, and they still had a lot of heating problems, so they had to spend an awful lot of time on cowling design in order to bring down similar head temperatures on the airplane, on the engine.
And once World War II was complete, I've heard the quote, I don't know if it's true or not, that your dad said, "That's it, I don't ever have to worry about that airplane ever again."
Lots of expletives, and it had taken, 5 years out of his life. He had just literally got his call to active duty a week before he and my mother were supposed to marry. And they were able to spend their first couple of years of marriage in the United States before he was deployed with the B-29s, but it, had taken away from time away from her and time away from his career, and he was ready to move on. I think like most vets at the time were ready to get on with their lives. But he was ready to sort of cuss the B-29, but that didn't last for long.
I was just going to say, he joined with the CAF in the 60s, and about that time the push was on from the Confederate Air Force at that time, Commemorative Air Force now, to find a flying example of all of the aircraft that were in the U.S. fleet during World War II. 300,000 aircraft produced during World War II, and by 1957, the early 60s, there weren't very many left. Most of them had been scrapped.
Right, that's correct.
So that was the genesis of starting the organization. And once they assembled the fighter group, they started working on the bombers. And I think one of the, obviously, the crown jewel would be a B-29, but there didn't seem to be any of those left. But then once were discovered.
Well, they did have, remember, they did have Texas Raiders pretty early on.
Yes, so 1967.
They did have one big bomber. Interestingly, if you wanted to see a B-20, even if you want to see one today, I mean, there aren't many out of 3,600 or so made. You can't see them. Same thing with B-24s. You want to see one, there just aren't many there. They found a group of them in Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland, but they were in bad shape. I think they'd probably be in very good shape by today's standards because we've lowered the bar because of need.
Right.
And then by luck really found a group of them in China Lake, California. And then out of that group, my father had good connections with the Air Force. He'd been a reservist all along and had kept ties with many of the people who were his peers in World War II and had risen in the ranks and were now quite far up in the Air Force, and was able to get one donated. And so out of that group, one was picked, which has turned out to be Fifi.
And what was the criteria for selecting the best of what was there?
Well, funny thing about it, there were some that were in terrible shape. But out of the sort of smaller group that were deemed to be relatively equal, it was actually it had the best glass. Of all things, so that was the tipping point, if you will, out of all of them.
These were being used as targets by the Navy at the time. So, as you say, some of them were in pretty poor shape.
They were, and they'd been. I don't know about the others. Fifi was 17 years sitting there in the. Now, granted, it was desert, in that sense, very good conditions, but otherwise hot, tough conditions for it, just abandoned out there,
right?
I mean, to the elements.
Everything dries out.
That's right.
Animals take over.
That's right.
Nature tries to reclaim it.
Yep.
What's the history of that airframe itself?
Well, Brad Pilgrim would do a far better job than I would, but it was finished in July or so of 45, so it didn't see any World War II action, and didn't actually see Korea. It was became a training B-29, so it was a TB-29, and based out of Randolph Field in San Antonio. And so it trained a lot of people. And we've run into many of them. You know, we've been out on the road for 43 years or so now and met all kinds of people, of course, who flew B-29s. And in that found more than a few who bring out their logbook to look at the airplane and discover that, in fact, they had 5 hours or they'd finished their training in it or something like that, which has been fun to see.
Good. So it's in the desert. Now the drive is to bring it back to life.
Right.
So your dad and a group of dedicated volunteers from CAF went out to the desert. How long did it take them to?
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
So 17 years of, you know, being abandoned, and in 6 weeks, that airplane flew out of there. Pretty amazing. A real testament to the, you know, our volunteer crews, which is what the CAF is all about.
Right. And that first flight crew was headed by Randy Sohn, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
Yep.
Lefty Gardner flew right seat. He was the only guy on board who actually had B-29 time. He was an instructor during World War II.
All right. And you flew it all the way back to Harlingen, Texas.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. And that was supposed to, at that time, was a one flight only, right?
It was a one flight only. When the airplane landed, someone asked, one of the reporters asked Randy Sohn, he was looking for who the pilot was, and asked Randy Sohn, you must be very experienced. How many hours do you have on it? And he looked at his watch. He says, well, you know, 6 hours and 12 minutes, which is what the time or so that it took to get back. So, but it was a one-time flight, so it had what is now called the no-fly clause on it. And it's no different than many other military items that are given to VFW posts and things like that. They're demilled, and this not flying it was a way of demilling. In fact, they wanted the Air Force wanted the airplane taken apart. And my dad insisted that you couldn't put it back together, which wasn't quite true, but it's his way of saying, look, let me just fly it out of there. And then he went to work on it, and it took three or four years to... going through the channels, and everybody kept saying no. And the final deal was he went to talk to Barry Goldwater. Didn't know him. It wasn't like he had any contact there. Just basically went and sat in his office and waited and waited and waited and waited all day. Finally, I guess it's the secretary up front took pity on him and took him in to meet with Barry Goldwater. You know, Barry Goldwater, you know, like the first departier, and he hated when he heard the story of what the CAF was. And Barry Goldwater's a World War II vet. The fact that the CAF was trying to and had been really quite successful at preserving the history, essentially Barry Goldwater's history, along with, you know, those of that generation, he got mad about it. And this is a guy, like I say, a Tea Partier. This is a guy that couldn't understand bureaucracy and big government and people saying no, 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 no. And literally one phone call to the Secretary of the Air Force, and the no-fly clause was removed. So you just got to have the right guy
and persistence.
Pulling the trigger for you.
And
yeah.
Persistence. Neil Zagather is joining us. His family has deep roots with the CAF's B-29 Fifi, as does he as well. You are a command pilot on the airplane. You've flown it quite a bit.
I'm a right seater.
And how many hours have you flown?
About 75, I think, is okay. What I have so far.
Yeah. When the no-fly clause was in, was there any work going on the airplane, or was it just sort of just on static display?
Well, obviously static because we couldn't fly, but they, you know, they did the minimal work to get it back, and then proceeded to do some really serious work on the airplane. I mean, they literally just shook it off, got engines running, and got out of there. And then they spent the next 4 years working, you know, putting it in the. In fact, if you look back in the archives, we've got a lot of pictures of it in that large hangar apart while they worked on it.
And returns to the airshow circuit in 1974, correct?
Yep.
All right, and you've been flying almost continuously since then. There was a stand-down period in the 2000s when the engines just...
You know, in fact, the original reaction on the part of the general staff, the CAF, was that it was really they figured that they couldn't afford to fly it. So they, after removing the no-fly clause, basically said, look, we're not going to fly. We can't afford it. We can fly... you know, 6 P-47s or something for the cost of 1 B-29. And, you know, not needless to say that angered my father some because of all the effort to get there, and decided that, we need to get it on the road. And he called Randy Sohn. He said, what if we take it on the road and, you know, we sell some cockpit tours, hats and T-shirts? What do you think? And Randy said, well, let's give it a try. And it was a huge success. So right. We really, Fifi and my father's idea pioneered the, you know, the warbird circuit, not only what we do today, but what many, many other warbirds do today as well.
And the name Fifi, where did that come from?
Cruz named it after my mother. That was not actually not my father's idea. And so he and my mother were both surprised when they pulled into Harlingen one day, and the name was painted on the side. Bill Godwin did the design. He was a sign painter in out of Harlingen, and he came up with a the way you look at it today, kind of a bit of a caricature.
Yes, and it's been that way ever since. Yes. Although she has had some different paint schemes through the years.
A number of movies. A dozen or so movies over the years. Yes, that's right.
Right now, the airplane is here at Oshkosh at AirVenture, along with Doc. The first time the two B-29s are occupying the same.
Quite an event, isn't it? Isn't that great?
It is.
They wonderful.
Occupied the same piece of sky yesterday, and they'll do that again today. So it's once again at Oshkosh, it's a place to make history.
It is like a dream come true for my father. He was always pushing for that. He'd like to have seen another one. So I'm sure he's smiling on all this.
The B-29 squadron of the Commemorative Air Force. You spend a lot of time on the road.
Over 25 weeks a year, every year.
Air Power History Tour. There have got to be some great memories that have come out of some of those tour stops for you.
Well, to get a chance to fly with Paul Tibbetts, pretty fabulous.
Yes.
Get to fly with his grandson, Paul IV, pretty fabulous. Not only that, but other crew members of the Enola Gay and of Boxcar. I mean, that's pretty fabulous. And then just the veterans. Over all the years, unfortunately, it's a dwindling number now. I remember meeting one veteran who they put him in the back of the airplane so he could meet with a fellow crew member. Bob Freeman was our crew member, and this veteran came out, and the two of them had flown together on the same airplane. And they spent 2 hours in the back swapping stories and so on. And then the wife called him later and said, well, did you notice anything? And Bob, other than having aged some, no. And he said, well, that's the first time he's talked in about 10 years. The guy had been, I don't know why, medical reasons, had been basically unable to speak. And the thrill of it brought it all out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Neil Zagather with the Commemorative Air Force. You're out on the road, the Air Power Tour. And what's the website if people want to know if you're coming to their hometown?
They can literally just look up B-29 Fifi and it'll take them there.
Okay.
Or Air Power History Tour, that'll take them there as well. They can go to the CAF website, and there are buttons there that they can click to take them to the best website on the CAF website. The best link there is ours.
The B-29, B-24 squad.
Yeah, you can book a ride, check out on the history of the airplanes that we have, because we fly Fifi, we also fly Diamond Lil. We fly a Stearman, and we've got other airplanes that fly with us as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll look for the two B-29s in the sky later this afternoon during the air show.
Glad to be here. Thank you.